How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, there's a lot going on today, Atlanta. Kevin Stefanski, head coach of our Atlanta Falcons, talking to the media, talking about second week of OTAs and what's going on with Michael Penix and what's going on with TUA. That is coming your way in just a little bit. Stay there. We'll get you caught up on all the things that were said today and where the latest is with the health update on a couple of guys with the Falcons. Meanwhile, Hawks extend and actually give a nice extension to Ansi Saleh, the general manager of our team. So he is now going to be president of basketball as well. And congratulations, as we've been discussing that move for the Hawks. Look, I think they're just tidying up things. Mike said it. When people want your guys, you pay them.
You lock them up.
If you're going to keep them. So that news broke today. But I think the other big story, Mike, and we're about to get into this, is what's coming out of SEC spring meetings, which we'll let you hear Kirby in just a second, and then this potential bipartisan bill that is going to be introduced called Protect College Sports Act, which could take a lot of the stuff that these coaches are worried about, a lot of the ADs, school presidents, everything that's been discussed with this new era of college football. Maybe this controls a little bit more of the things that we've been worried about. But before we get to that, man, we got to talk some dogs. So Kirby said this yesterday. I just want you guys to hear it because Mike and I did discuss it, but it's always great to hear from the coach of Georgia when he talks about not being afraid to break away from the conference. This stemmed from, hey, are we self-sufficient? Are we going to expand this college playoff and do too much in this area? And Kirby's been very adamant about this, but he answered this yesterday, and everybody ran with it, Mike, and got crazy because they were like, is the SEC really going to break away? Here's Kirby.
And I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should play our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and have and play. I mean, like, if we could actually function and it financially would make our programs more stable and we could support things financially, I'm talking about all the sports, and do by our own rules, I'd be all for that. I mean, I've been to this meeting now 10, 11 times, and it's frustrating at times to say, well, we can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because of litigation. We can't do this because we'll get sued. We can't do that. And we're just trying to do things for the betterment of the sport and the betterment of the student athletes. And that's not curtailing what money they make. I'm not advocating that they make less money. I'm fine with what student athletes make. I'm trying to make it where it's as equal and as comparable footing for everybody. And it's not a race to the bottom, as they say.
A lot of guys around the country saying what you and I've been saying for like last 4 years, that Kirby has taken that baton from Nick Saban as the voice of college football. He is the voice. He's the voice with the most juice, the gravitas in that room down there in Destin and on the beach and everywhere else in college football. And he's using the platform to express, I think, some great takes. Now, how do we get there? I don't know.
Look, the reality is it's not going to happen. It's not best for the SEC to do that. But the reality also is they could if they wanted to, and they really want to be a jerk about this whole situation, Mike, and go, what? We're self-sustainable. We're still going to fill our stadiums. People are still going to come to our games. SEC football matters, and we can still support all the other sports, which is what Kirby's talking about. Like, they could. But this is not what's in the best interest of college
football.
That's
like the nuclear option, right? Like,
yes.
The nuclear option. You know, as we said, there's been like this – it's kind of like us in China. Right, us at the SEC and the Big Ten, we're competing for market share.
Yeah.
You know, we have our own agendas, and they're competing. They're rarely in the same line of thought. You know, and we try to play nice, and somebody's going to come out on top. Now, the question is, how does Greg Sankey pivot? Because right now, it's like he stepped in some poo poo. Because you got his coaches, you got his own people that came out this week saying the 9-game league schedule. They said that coaches were misled. So who they were misled by? They're misled by the commissioner. When they were told playoffs would expand to 16 teams, if they agreed, it didn't. They felt misled. That's from John Sumrall, who's not even coach the game now is Florida's head coach. But Breck McMurphy had that. So it makes people feel like, okay, all the ships aren't maybe sailing in the same direction when it comes to the SEC and how they feel. Some coaches might say, when you got SEC coaches going, well, hell, if we're going to play this meat grinder of a schedule, we might as well just have a 2014 playoff. And that's not what the commissioner's been saying. He's not been saying that for months.
Yeah, because they know how much more difficult it's going to be to get into the playoff. Here's Kirby talking about neutral site games, and then we're going to get into this Protect College Sports Act that's being presented that could change some things. Nothing, again, has happened, but this is how things get started after a group of U.S. senators introduce a wide-sweeping legislation today. Here's Kirby Smart talking about neutral site games.
Six, one, half dozen, another. I love the games, so it's not a matter whether it's home and home or neutral site. I think – you know, you ask the fan base, you could get an interesting dynamic. Everybody wants to go to another campus. Everybody wants to have an extra home game for a non-conference. Great game. But everybody likes neutral site games, too. So these opportunities to go to a different place, Jacksonville, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, just to say the least, they're really cool experiences for our fan base to go to a place they don't traditionally go to. So I'm more interested in the matchup than I am where it is.
Yeah, I gotta coach my guys to beat those guys. But no, like I said, I mean, it's funny. Mike Griffith was joking around with me last week about, like, you know, or 2 weeks ago about how bad it was with, you know, Georgia smoked Florida State. Well, that Orange Bowl game aside, you know, watching, you know, I think what Georgia fans wouldn't want to go to Tallahassee for a weekend. It's a blast. Like, Florida State fans would love to go visit the Classic City. For me, I'm going to go to Alabama this year. I've been to Tuscaloosa in a minute, right, to see a game. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff which, unfortunately, those kind of marquee matchups go away. That would be good. Imagine if Florida State played Georgia in Nashville. Woo! Nothing against Mercedes-Benz. Wouldn't that be fun?
Sounds very personal to me.
I'm just saying, Carl.
Yes.
All right.
But I agree. Those games.
But like Texas, when Texas plays Ohio State, that's huge. It was the biggest game of the year.
It's huge. Last year was a huge game because everybody wanted to see what was going to happen.
And this year it's going to be the biggest game in the first like quarter of the season.
I agree. They want to see what was going to happen with Arch Manning and if he could handle the pressure and all. Okay. So I love these big kickoff games. The thing is, they don't punish you anymore. You can lose that game, Mike. No, it'll look bad on Texas and Sark coming off of an offseason where everybody thinks. But you could lose to Ohio State. You could still get in the playoff. And that's the difference between years ago where you had these big kickoff games, and if you lost, you're already behind the eight ball. You couldn't have another screw.
But that's the argument for the expanded playoff. Then you should be able to have these games because – but again, provided the College Football Playoff Committee and their moving target that year – values the fact that you had the guts to go if you're Georgia to play Clemson. That's the thing. You're going to lose Georgia Clemson now. That's going to go out the window.
And I love it.
You know, and that's been a great history between Georgia going back for decades, man. So anyway, but that's the thing. It's two separate arguments. If the College Football Playoff Committee did its job consistently with transparency and you knew what they were looking for, then you could schedule accordingly. But you can't.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what they're looking for. The best TV matchups.
Bingo.
That's what they're looking for.
Why they took a long, hard look at Alabama 2 years ago and almost made it.
It's absolutely true. All right, let's talk about this Protect College Sports Act. Again, do not know, guys, where this goes. It may never even get passed. But we got to start somewhere. And so a group of U.S. senators introducing a new wide-sweeping legislation today. It aims at addressing many of the current issues in college sports, Mike. Will it?
Yeah, it's Ted Cruz from Texas, being Republican. And it is the senator from Washington. Again, so you got big folks working across the aisle on this. Maria Cantwell is her name, is the senator from Washington State. And so here's the broad strokes. One transfer for undergrads. You get one time to you get only one opportunity to transfer.
I like it.
Out of a program. 5 years of eligibility. No more of this guy's playing in years 8 and 7, and it's making a mockery of the system.
And they've actually gone to this already. We talked about the 5, 5, and 5, but yes, love it.
Can't hire another school's coach during season to avoid the – they're calling that the Lane Kiffin rule.
Okay, so if your team makes the playoffs, you can't leave.
Can't leave.
Okay.
Freeze conference memberships in the SEC and Big Ten.
Let me rephrase that. Can't leave until after the season.
Correct.
Okay, sorry.
Allow pooling of media rights if 75% of the FBS teams agree. Now, the joke is, yes, everybody would agree you don't even need the Big Ten and the SEC to agree to that. And then the Big Ten and the SEC be like, well, you're not getting our money. You're not going to be pulled. Mm-hmm. And if you're the ACC, I mean, you want more money, but you really want to be giving your money, which is bottom of the barrel right now, to the rest of the kitty? It's been interesting. Anyway, but that's something that's out there. More things, and this is you can read about this. Enforce tampering, rev share rules. Not for or against athlete employment. You and I were just talking about this. If you're going to have a salary cap, then how do you navigate the legal minefield of players suing you and having their own union, in which case they could go on strike? Yeah. They're saying that it's not for or against athlete employment. Well, that would have to get straightened out.
Yeah, look, and these are some of the obstacles that they'll be faced with as they try to address some of these things. And here's the thing. I think you put everything in here
right.
that you think needs to be addressed. And then Chip along away. The way, that's Chip right, away. There'll be things that are like, okay, this is way more important than this. This is way more important than that other thing. And then you finally get to a real Protect College Sports Act that could potentially be passed bipartisan-wise. But Mike, at the end of the day, right now, when I look at all these things they're trying to address, I'm like, this is kind of overwhelming. I think we just think about the NIL and the portal stuff because that's just present. There's so much more to this that they're trying to get adjusted or will if this was to go through,
right.
That, yeah, this would definitely put a clamp on some of the things that we're seeing with college football. The question, though, is will it make it better? And that's what everybody's going to say. Yeah, you're doing all of this. Is it better? And I said this to you immediately when we started talking about this today, which was the first thing that you see with this, the connection to this bipartisan college sports bill is a limit on how much these guys can make.
Right.
And the only way you're going to do that is to have a collective bargaining agreement. Right. And that's
now,
the only
and
way.
Now your college football players are employees. And, I mean, again, it'd be like not the Ed O'Bannon specifics, but it'd be an Ed O'Bannon-type thing running its way through the courts the whole time. And as Kirby just talked about down in Destin, everything winds up in the courtroom these days. So that would be something. I mentioned the resources being, you know, pooled. Brett McMurphy points out, he says, the bill includes an opportunity for schools to collectively pool all their rights to the money.
Okay.
A minimum threshold, 75% of the 138 FBS schools must be reached. Even if the Big Ten and SEC didn't sign off and the rest of the FBS did, it would still be over 75%. I have a hard time accepting that the guys in the Big Ten and the SEC would be willing to share the kitty.
It's a lot.
It's just, that to me seems like that would be, there'd be a whole lot of feet dragging on that one.
Yeah, but you know what? What they're saying is then now we're playing on an equal
correct
playing field. Right?
Correct.
Everybody.
And then you enjoy the last few years of Texas Tech basically pirating everybody and all this nonsense that's come along the last like 3 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, as Carl said, a lot of stuff to unpack. There's all the ESPN's got articles on it, Sporting News, everybody's got SI. But, and we're going to reach out to Pat Ford to get his take on this week. At least it's a start, right? At least it's a start, you know? So I know the president was trying to do some stuff, and that was some of that was legit, some was grandstanding, but at least let's try to get some people discussing it. Look, I get it. Now, some people would say there's a million other things we got going on in this country. We don't need Congress doing this. Well,
actually, we do.
This is something that actually, a lot of folks who vote would like to see addressed.
Yeah, I think when you start talking about the impact of college football,
correct.
The financial impact, this is something that does need to get
right.
addressed.
And then
I'm not telling you it's one.
No, but as you and I were talking about last week, Abe and I were talking about, if you get a kid who plays one of those friends and family sports, you want that kid, you still want to get a chance to get a scholarship to pay for your kid's education. If they start erasing those programs, that option goes out the window.
Yeah.
Because football gobbles up all the money.
All right. It is interesting. We'll continue to see where this goes, but that news is out there today, and the Georgia president suggested it's time for the conference to consider making its own rules, which has a lot of people, again, that's what Kirby was addressing. That's why people are saying, oh, wait a minute, that's not the right way.
Hey, Travis hits us up saying, yeah, the SEC championship game is gone.
Oh, it is.
That's a money grab that doesn't help playoff success.
No, it is. And the other reason it's gone is because they want to end the season sooner.
Right.
You start the playoffs the weekend that the SEC championship happens, which is the first weekend in December. 4 weeks of playoffs gets us to January. And then you're done before the portal window opens. That's why that's probably going to go away. All right, but not anytime soon.
And there could be a bye week, and that's when Army-Navy would get played.
And it'll be the only game, as right. it always is. All right, we'll come back. We got more to dive into. Braves talk on the way, but we got to talk more football because the Falcons are on the field. It's the second week of OTAs and what we learned today. Next.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. I got a question about Ansi Saleh. Ansi Saleh gets promoted today, and he goes, Dukes, what's this mean? He's been promoted to president of basketball operations.
For unlimited power, Carl.
Yeah, but for those who don't remember, it's kind of interesting. When Danny Ferry got the job, he was also GM/president And then when all of that went down where he gets fired, Mike, or the Hawks suspended him, however that went down, and then Bud had to step in. Bud was also president of basketball ops.
Right.
It just gives you the power to make all the basketball decisions. So that's what Ansi is going to do. He's continuing to be in that GM role. They're not going to bring in a player he's not aware of or that he's not a part of. But with the help and the input from the coach, he is now over all of those basketball decisions. And remember, they lost one of their front office members to the 76ers, who became their new general manager. So, you know, there's some changes going on in the front office. But this is not a bad thing. Like, he's still going to be very heavily involved.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny, the guy hit me up, he goes, you keep saying his business card is bigger. Well, again, there used to be these things called business cards. I presume people still have them, Carl.
I do. Yeah.
The joke is, you know, they fold out when you've got like a lot of job descriptions on your card. But, you know, Ansi Salehe, now the question will be, and you and I have been, we'll have to wait for this one too. You know, just like we're going to wait and see when Penix is 100% to compete. We got to wait to see if this team's going to spend some money. Are they going to get in one of those aprons of the threshold of the lane, which gets you into the salary cap? I don't know. But we do know that they need some pieces because, as Carl pointed out earlier, we see things, especially now between the Knicks and now with the remaining team, Spurs and OKC, probably going to be just OKC, things that we don't even have on this team. We got to get them.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look, and those guys don't grow on trees. You're either paying them, right? That's a big-time free agent acquisition, or you're trading for them.
And Hartenstein is, I got to double-check if he's restricted, but I believe he is a free agent. Just one of those types of players we don't have.
He's been nice for OKC, man. He's done a nice job. Right. When Chet's been struggling and you know, Chet played well last night, but I like what he's done. You need more than just one guy to throw a Wimby, and that's what they're
doing. Right. Now, again, if Asa Newell had gone to Georgia for 3 years and came out of the box ready to go, but, you know, he's played 40 games in the NBA, and he played the rest in the G League. So that's the problem. You know, we did draft some size. Everyone points out every time I bring up the center position or try to find more front court size, a real rim protector. We have somebody in the pipeline, but he's not even close to being ready yet in Asa Newell.
Yeah, I don't know when he's going to be. Mike, it may be another year, maybe, you know. And yes, he can play. But, guys, there's a transition that happens in the NBA, and it's, you know, it's not whether he's good enough. They wouldn't have drafted him if they didn't think that.
Right.
But there's things that he's got to get better at. Meanwhile, Falcons on the field today. It is the second week of OTAs. Just a couple of things we'll point more out in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also let you hear from Tua, who did speak to the media today. He did say some interesting things. Letting you guys know.
you're gonna trigger the Michael Penix fans out there. And by the way, we're all Michael Penix fans. Even me.
I was going to say.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
that's good.
You. Not.
What?
What?
You said that?
I believe in Michael. I was arguing Penix with one of our buddies earlier. I point out all these things about Michael Penix. I mean,
you patiently waited and then you said not.
I know. That's he ordered.
How
again.
Did you? Why would you do that?
This is Oren. And the thing is, we have some guys out there that are so silly. I didn't say stupid. I'm not going to belittle. Okay, some of these guys are stupid. They don't realize it's a joke. I believe in Michael Penix Jr. Not
that sounds
see, you,
very
that's clearly edited.
Very calculated.
It doesn't even seem it's. There's a way to say not. That's not the way you say not.
You paused.
My buddy Richie. I believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Not.
No. See, my buddy Richie invented the not back in 1985. Richie Conrad. He goes, I think the Jets are going all the way. Not. See that? I do believe. I trace the not phenomenon that Borat made fun of Sacha Baron Cohen to my buddy Richie Camarada in high school.
That was a big thing. That was a big thing at one point, right? Everybody, not.
I think it originated in Wauwatosa, New York. I can't prove this, but I think Richie was the first guy
Isn't that where you're from?
It's exactly where I'm from, Richie.
And so therefore, you've used it very effectively here.
No, that's not the way you say not. You say, if I really want to be a jerk, and here I'm going to say it, and I was going to be on tape, so I'm screwed either way.
You're going to say something about Michael Penix?
I believe in Michael Penix Jr. Not! See, that's the way you say it. And now he's going to tape it. Now you're going to be hearing that for the next 6 weeks.
That sounds very, very calculated.
I believe in him. I didn't believe in Zach. I thought Zach was a schnook. I thought Raheem let him down. Receivers got hurt. I mean, there's just a lot of things that were beyond his control. But, you know, like the game that happened in Charlotte, that was clearly Michael Penix not being good.
Yeah, he wasn't.
You know, and that's to be expected. You're going to have some struggles in your first few years. We just still don't know where we are with him. That's why I think, and you and I argue real quick, is guys think he's good to go. I don't think Penix is good to go yet. Mm. That doesn't mean he can't be the man. It means there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair assessment. And it goes beyond the injury. This is just certain things that you want to see from your quarterback that you want to feel comfortable about. And I think, Mike, that is part of this Tua discussion that maybe they're already seeing him be able to do some of those things. Either way, we'll play some of the Tua for you coming up. Let me hear Kevin Stefanski talk about Tua fitting in because he was asked about him today, and Stefanski says, look, he used the word impressed with a bunch of players, by the way. It wasn't just Tua, but he said, I've been impressed with what I've seen and how he's going about his work.
Working very hard, veteran, fits in really well with our guys. Skill set is what you see from his Miami days to now, very accurate, but fits in really well.
Okay. And look, that's what you want to hear, but he's not telling you who's winning the battle because there is no battle right now. He's not telling you that Tua is, you know, ahead in this race because the race hasn't started. This is all preparation for camp rolling around.
Right.
And that's when guys earn jobs, man. I mean, you know, we always talk about this. This whole thing about guys running around with shorts and helmets is nice. I mean, the quarterback, nobody's going to hit him anyway. But a lot of these guys, Mike, we're going to find out when we put the pads on. We know this. So, you know, whether some of these guys are what we think they are or how they can help this team, that's when those things will really get decided. Meanwhile, Kevin Stefanski was also asked a question. I think Joe Patrick asked the question today about James Pierce Jr. He's very short here, but understand that I think the team, this is just my opinion, Mike, I think they're kind of waiting this out to say, hey, we're going to let it all get resolved before we give you guys definitive statements. And maybe they're waiting on some direction from the NFL. Maybe that's part of this. Because
right.
Kevin Stefanski today said we're in contact with both the league and James Pierce Jr.'s people.
I'm aware of that report, but I really have no update.
What on that front, what is the club's kind of stance right now with regards to him? Are you still just waiting for action from the NFL or...
Yeah, in constant communication with all parties, but continuing to wait for more information to come out.
Okay, and that's our Joe Patrick asking him, what are you waiting for? And so I just think they'll be very careful about this. But I have to believe, and again, I'm just, Mike, you're paying him. He's going to be a camp, right? I mean, real
well,
camp.
This, and again, I apologize for if we're repeating ourselves. You know, it's one guy, Rashee Rice, got in trouble, had an accident. Everyone knew it. He went, got arrested, didn't have his day in court, and he got to play. Our guy's not had a day in court either. He's made an agreement with the prosecutors, and the state said we don't sign off on 6 months. We sign off on a year to keep your nose clean. So how does the NFL handle it? Do you allow him to play? And again, let's just say for argument's sake, the NFL says, all right, 8 games, you appeal it down to 6 or 4, right? And then he gets on, and you lose the first quarter of the season, and we're rolling.
Yeah.
And the only way that the only way there'd be subsequent NFL suspension, and we're going to find out, because Rashee Rice violated his probation by being caught on a drug test smoking weed, tested positive for marijuana. Same rules apply to James Pierce Jr. and a part of his probation. Now, if James does something silly, then the NFL will drop the hammer, you know, and then we're in big trouble. Hopefully that never happens.
Hopefully it doesn't. One other thing from Kevin Stefanski, he was asked about Matt Ryan's impact, guys, and Ryan was seen today on the field. I think we're going to see a lot of that through camp, Mike, and, you know, once the game starts, he'll be where he needs to be, but... You know, right now, he's up close and personal with all these guys, and he's helping the coaching staff any way that he possibly can. Here's what Stefanski said about Matt Ryan.
Well, he was throwing yesterday in drills, which might be illegal. Maybe I should say. No, he was not throwing in drills. But had he been, if he was, he was throwing it well. No, Matt, he's doing a nice job. Obviously, he helps me every day, helps Ian every day, helps our players. I think it's such a unique history, both in the city and this building. He sat in those chairs where those guys sat. So I think that's really special when he can get in front of them and give them his perspective of things, because it's not many people that can do that like Matt, you know, been at the pinnacle of this profession and now is in a role where he's, you know, helping guide this franchise. So I think it's just anytime you can get him in front of your players, including your young players, your rookies, I think it's beneficial.
It's good stuff.
Right on.
And look, like I said, why wouldn't you use him as a resource? That's what he's there for.
Right.
So,
and Mike's talked about, you know, Matt, you know, being there for him. And like Tua's already said, Penix is a great guy. He sees why he's a leader. You know, we heard that. We played that soundbite earlier. So, I mean, now just a matter of when can they both, you know, we know one guy's ready to go. When's the next guy to be ready to go? And then we can really judge where they're at. As can the most important guy in the room, Stefanski.
Stay tuned. You're going to hear from Tua coming up. But, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, what if I told you one of the most famous auto builders and manufacturers in the world has created a car that is universally being panned right now?
What?
Legacy on the line. I'll explain that. And you ever go to a restaurant with your wife and there's some screaming bratty kids at the table next door?
Yeah.
Hey, a lot of Americans say, why don't we have adult-only sections in restaurants?
Ooh.
We'll get into the nuts and bolts on that. Day-Day, I'm not talking about your kids. I'm talking about bratty kids. You've raised your kids well. Next on Dukes and Bell and Guy Talk.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Example of how you're supposed to execute it.
Well, that sounded pretty real.
Now you're hearing that all the way to the probably doing the show up at Falcons camp.
Well,
I know. I set myself up.
That's a pretty adamant way to go about it right there when you're not.
See, that's just, I was telling you how to do it, trying to explain how the previous one was doctored audio. Now you don't have to doctor it. He just got it now. So either way, I'm screwed. Hey, man.
Not.
Stay tuned. We got some prizes. Dukes and Bell got free stuff. Hey, man, we're going to give away here in just minutes a chance for you to win a nice little staycation comfort giveaway from Reliable Heating and Air. $150 gas card. How about that? $150 gas card. Yeah. It's at least two Phillips. You get a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heat and Air, plus a $150 grocery gift card.
That's a great
gift. So it's a nice little staycation. Stay tuned for that coming up in minutes. All right, man. We just mentioned Georgia and the new schedule's out. And everybody's belly aching already. Georgia will play Tennessee State September 5th at 3 o'clock at Sanford Stadium. Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers with the Red Grimace mascot roll in the following weekend, 12:45 kick. And then Arkansas calling those pigs in that September 19th at noon. Problem is for Arkansas, their athletic director, Hunter Yurecek, just posted an open letter saying, TV, jerking us around. ESPN, now again, this is biting the hand that feeds because ESPN is your buddy. Not happy that they got to play Utah out on the Utah campus at 9:15 Arkansas time.
Okay.
And by the time they get done with the two Utes and they fly back to Fayetteville, then they got basically a 6-day work week to get ready for Georgia.
That's an L.
In Athens. So
that's an L.
Oops. So yeah, so they're upset. Everybody's got a beef. Nobody's happy with their schedule.
Yeah, look.
The TV, more about the starting time specifically.
I agree. But look, I get the beef. I understand where they're coming from. But look, this is what Kirby says every time about these schedules.
Right.
Like you think that's not a cupcake. Going to play Arkansas and even with the short turnaround. But yeah, that playing out west that's the thing. That's why I wouldn't schedule any games out there.
No, man. Remember Georgia did that home and home with Arizona State?
Yeah.
Right? Remember that one back in the day? Forget about that. Hey, man, what if I told you one of the most historic car builders in the history of the planet came up with their first ever fully electric car and everybody hates it?
Really?
May I present to you the Ferrari Lucia.
The Ferrari?
The Ferrari Luce. It means light.
Fully electric.
Fully electric, and it looks like crap. It looks, I mean, it's looking up at a Tesla. This thing looks, I mean, the thing is, people are saying for what they're asking for it, what do you think a Ferrari Luce goes for?
Well, I mean, we are talking still about a Ferrari. A Ferrari!
$640,000 for a car that people are just universally penned. They don't like the way it looks, the styling.
Believe it.
And it's really bad, though, when you get the ex-Ferrari boss, the guy that hired Ross Braun and Jean Todt and Michael Schumacher to bring Ferrari back to glory. Luca de Montezemolo, the former chairman of CEO, handpicked by Gianni Agnelli of Fiat. He says, quote, I'm going to say it with an Italian accent because he's Italian. If I had to say what I really think, I'd be hurting Ferrari. I hope they at least remove the prancing horse from the car. This is something at least China won't try to replicate. This is from the guy that was the data. He ran the show at his apex. He was also the guy that swore they'd never have a hybrid or an electric car back in the day. But that made me laugh. At least this is something we won't have to see China rip us off on.
He wants them to take the brand off.
They don't want to see the prancing horse on this thing. Look up if you're home already or at the office, Ferrari Luce and Day-Day, take a look because you're like Switzerland, a man who never has a mean thing to say about anything. And give us your opinion on this car. It just looks like really weak. It doesn't fit in the Ferrari stable, and that's what Scuderia Ferrari means, the stable Ferrari. It just doesn't fit.
So, sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be
Yeah, well, this is more on the other side.
Describe what you see.
It looks like something out of Total Recall.
Yes! Recall. Like a Johnny car. Like a Johnny cab became a car. It just, yes.
It just doesn't have any style. And that's the thing. Italian, if you're going to make an all-electric car, it's got to be stylish. For $640,000, I mean, you wouldn't think twice about just going to your neighborhood Tesla store and buying one of those over this thing.
Here's the issue.
For what? For 100 times or 10 times less the price, I should say.
The folks who drive Ferrari.
Ferrari.
Okay. You drive it for a certain reason. Beyond the name and the value. Right. I'm talking about the experience. And Mike, if you're affording Ferraris,
right,
I'm not paying that for this when right. I know what a real Ferrari drives like and what it feels like. My point is, that's why people drive. That's why you drive those cars. You don't buy a Lamborghini just because it's a Lamborghini. Oh. It's the experience.
And by the way, within hours of this car being launched, Lamborghini releases a simple one line on their social media. Lamborghini still keeping the dream alive.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
So I saw that. I'm a big, Carl and I are big car guys. Real quick, the Italian version of Road and Track called an Apple product on wheels, anything but the Ferrari. So I just love, I'm loving all the things going back.
They gave one to the Pope.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Pope.
He'll never drive it.
Pope Leo the 14th.
He'll never drive it.
They gave him the steering wheel. So he's not going to drive. He's got a guy's drive for him, but he's taking a picture of the Pope. Sitting in it. And Leo the 14th is like, I don't know, man. It looks a little cheesy to me. No, he didn't say that.
He's a Chicago dude. Of course he likes muscle.
Exactly. Exactly. But can you imagine, like, Pope, where are you headed? He's got a disguise on. He gets in the
Ferrari.
Even
the Pope was like nonplussed by it. I saw the video. I don't know what he's talking about. So anyway, you can take a look at it. And needless to say, I can't play these memes on the air because it would be sexually offensive to a certain group of people, but they're already making jokes. They're already producing high quality memes on this stuff through AI. That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's easy now than it's ever been. But yeah, right. Man, look, when you said it, Ferrari, I was like, Ferrari, because I know what that feels
right.
like.
What it's supposed to look like.
And you're like, oh, show it to me.
I mean, that's my dream car. I've driven years ago, we did for our big AFC NFC party, we did a video to introduce the folks. We used to do it at the Tabernacle, Carl, in the old days. And Dennis Scott and I, Dennis, remember you and I did the Miami Vice for Halloween? Mm-hmm. Dennis dressed up as Tubbs and I was Crockett. And we got to drive a Ferrari around the dealership up in Alpharetta. Very slowly, I must say. They were very nervous about the whole thing. But yeah, but that's the closest I've ever come to driving one.
If you get a chance, if you ever do, you just realize why people fall in love with them.
Right.
And that's
and part of it is the growl.
Correct. And that is, you're not getting that from that. I don't care how they simulate the sounds, because a lot of the muscle cars are doing this. They're going electric, but they're simulating the sounds of what it's supposed to sound like.
Again, it's co-designed by Apple design chief Johnny Ive. And there's the problem. It's you let a nerd from Apple design a Ferrari, and you got
Can't
the results.
It. That's it.
Hey, man, a poll is out, and I could not find where this poll, if it was which company put this out there, but a number of websites have this. I've got this from the LA Times. 75% of Americans want adults-only dining sections. A new survey of 1,000 U.S. adults supports 75% support restaurants offering some form of adults only because child who are not being controlled by their parents, kids making noise and screaming and wailing, it ruins the dining experience.
Yeah. Look, you go to resorts that don't allow children.
Adults only. Or like I go in Jamaica, they have an adult only section. The only time you see the kids is the morning buffet.
Yeah. Look, I don't even want to see them then. I'm going to an all adult spot. I want to be around adults and have to not worry about it.
Right.
I don't see. Look, the problem is you can't. I don't think you can tell people, Mike, maybe you can. Hey, you can't bring your family. Most places want to be family friendly. But this is kind of one of those situations where if that's how you're advertising and marketing your place, we are adults only, and you know that.
Right.
I have no issues with it.
Look, you go, it's like, and I get it. I don't want to tick off kids, people with kids. I get it. And most of our audience are responsible enough to know what's a good spot for a kid and what is not a good spot.
Sure.
And like, you know, parents bring their kids to Vegas. I'm like, what are you doing? Taking the Disney World, man. The Vegas ain't the place, man. You know, you're spending $200 north of $250 for a dinner, and you got a screaming kid at the table next year. Forget about it.
Yeah, well, when we take the boys to Vegas, it's like, you see that, son? Yeah, you see that, son.
Wait, what?
What the hell are your kids doing in Vegas, Dad?
What?
Well, you take your kids on the street.
He's got well-behaved kids. It's got well-behaved kids. Lightspeed Commerce is the guys who did the poll. 49% backed restricting children during late evening hours. 46% favored designated adults-only section. 46% said romantic dining environments should be child-free.
Yeah.
And I agree.
I just think, and again, to your point about if you're going to a fine dining establishment.
You could have a section of the restaurant for the kids to scream and wail, just have a nice soundproof wall and let the adults get on with their enjoyable dinner.
There is no greater fear, though, I would say this, as a new parent,
than being that parent who has the kids in some setting and they're the ones that are screaming at their. Remember, Andy was talking about he just took a trip. They take a trip overseas and like you don't want to be that parent on the plane.
No, screaming kid. No.
Like, there's a genuine fear about that.
But I will say this, and I don't know that our kids we've ever had any experience to where they've been like that, but I will say this, just as a parent, I have a newfound respect. I totally get it. I can't say that I've been to fine dining restaurants. Like we usually go to Morton's and we've taken the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I've seen other families in there. I've never really seen kids, you know, kind of
roaming around,
losing it. Yeah. Or yeah.
But I will say,
Danny, like that.
We've seen some folks where I've seen it down in Miami where somebody's walked over and said, can you please control your child? And then here we go. Because you know that's going to go. Get the camera phones out because this is about to be a brawl here in a second. There are some parents who have no situational awareness or self-awareness, I should say, of what the children are doing.
Yeah, you got to, as parents, you do have to have that self-awareness to say one of us has to walk the kid out.
Yeah.
Point blank,
right.
Period.
Well, what happens day-to-day, right, is your tolerance for your children is different from everybody else's.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You're going ear blind.
Correct.
Or deaf.
So what you become used to.
Ear blind, deaf.
It's okay, but not when you're around other people, and that becomes the issue, right?
So he flips his plate over now. Oh, I'm so used to that. You go, no, we can't do that with, it's a $75 steak on it. No.
Well, and not only that, you got to be able to your point, you do get accustomed to what your kids do, mm-hmm. but you have to have awareness of your surroundings and say, okay, one of us is going to have to walk the kid out.
But a kid, like, you know, the time I had the kid kicking the seat on Delta, I mean, if I did that now, there'd be a video. I'd probably been viral by now, and I know what that's like. But, I mean, when the kid just kept kicking the seat, the parents were oblivious to it.
Yeah, the plane situation is different because there's nothing those parents can really do. There's no way.
Sure,
they can't
you
go anywhere.
Tell your kid, that's when I sit with the kid.
Well, yeah, you do that. But to your point, you do that in today's day and age. Now, as soon as the plane lands,
you off the plane,
right? Exactly.
Kids are awful. I know that's what are happening. Anyway, another story, Carl. We all love dogs. You know what you get with a dog. Did you hear what happened? I heard. I saw it on ESPN this morning and heard Andy and Randy talking about with Bo. Happy birthday to Bo Johnson, by the way, Big Bo, producing and engineering. The Tulsa Drillers are the L.A. Dodgers minor league system, double-A team.
Okay.
They've got their top, he's a top 15 prospect, and a young man who stole a ton of bases named Kendall George. This guy stole 100 bases in high A Great Lakes. Nobody's stealing bases like that at the minor leagues.
No.
So it sounds like he'd be the next Maury friggin' Wills, right, for the Dodgers when he gets to the show, which may take a minute now.
Why?
Because the Tulsa Drillers, like a lot of minor league teams, use some fun gimmicks. They've got two adopted dogs that they use as retrievers for the bats. So after the guy, you know, the dog runs up, fetches the bat from home plate, comes back to the dugout. Everyone loves that. They've got two cute dogs, Floki and Mia, that are kind of like kind of a German Shepherd mix. They're self-described as lovable mutts. Well, anyway, you got Kendall George. He's on second. And you got an RBI single from his teammate, Jose de la Paula. So he's sliding in to home plate. He's barreling down the third baseline, I should say, to score at home. At the same time, the Driller's bat dog comes out from the dugout to retrieve the guy's bat.
Mm.
So by the time he gets to home plate, he leaps to the side to avoid the dog, and then he lands awkwardly. And now they're saying he might have done damage to his patella tendon.
Oh, just one of those freak things.
Yeah, The Athletic reporting that it's not optimistic. The Dodgers have not yet released an official statement, but they say potentially serious. And again, this guy's elite speed. So this might, now is a guy whose complete trajectory in getting to the show may take a pause because he didn't want to run into the dog. And needless to say, the Tulsa Drillers are no longer using dogs to retrieve the bats. That was announced this morning.
Yeah, not a great idea.
Yeah.
Look,
I mean, there's no such thing as bad dogs, bad owners.
Always,
the trainer's got to say, okay, now, no.
In those environments, sometimes, Mike, you don't know what you're getting. Even when these dogs have done it tons of times. It sounds good. Let's get dogs to bring the bats back.
I like it. Yeah, like, you know, we've seen the Saints have the dog that runs out as it rally, whatever his name is, and go picks up the tee, you know, on the 30.
It's cool.
But anyway, there you go. There's your guy talk on a Wednesday.
Hey, man, let's give away this staycation comfort giveaway from Reliable Heating and Air. Caller number 10.
Nice.
Okay, because you're getting a $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card,
cha-ching,
and a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. And we all need that. You hear me all the time talking about that. Guys, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929, call it 10, is going to win. All right, we're coming back. Guy just said, you must be trolling, because there's no way you can be this excited about Tua. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.